Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. These tremendous words in this verse, which if we grasp fully and correctly, and if we respond to them in the right way, well, they will truly change us, transform us truly. And the words are very simply this, verse 26 of chapter 19. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. This is our subject this morning, all things possible with God. All things possible. Now, just to put these words in context, they are spoken just after the Lord's encounter with a rich young man. A rich young man in verse 16, he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he asks the Lord Jesus Christ a question. Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? This man, well, we commend him. He's seeking after spiritual things. He's seeking after eternal life. And he wants to know, what do I have to do to have this eternal life? And so, well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he points him to the law of God. The Ten Commandments, he only mentions the second table of the Ten Commandments. But the law of God, well, that is the standard that we have to reach. That is what is taught in Scripture. If we want to get to heaven by ourselves, the standard is the Ten Commandments, the law of God. And so in verse 18, we see the Lord Jesus Christ saying to him, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says all of these things to the rich young man. But look at what the rich young man says in verse 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Well, this young man, he says something remarkable. He says to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, I have done all of these things. Aren't I a good boy? I've kept all of these commandments that you've mentioned. So what else do I need to do? What else do I lack? By all intents and purposes, I ought to be able even this day to enter into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God. But then, well, we know this narrative very well. The Lord Jesus exposes his sin. He thinks he's wonderful. He thinks he's great. But look at verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Well, this is indeed very sad. He thought he was good enough for God, but he had an idol in his heart. There was something in his heart that he valued before God, far more than God, and that was his riches, his possessions. He had a lot of things. He had a lot of possessions, and he was not prepared to give them up to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He thinks he's a wonderful person, a good person, but the Lord Jesus Christ knows him and has exposed his sin. And this rich young man, he goes away very sorrowful. And Jesus says to his disciples in verse 23, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, these are amazing words. It is, of course, impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That is impossible. And yet the Lord is saying that that's easier than a rich man entering into the kingdom of God. It is an easier thing for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to inherit eternal life. What an amazing thing. And when his disciples hear it in verse 25, they are amazed and they say, who then can be saved? And well, in those times, it seems that if you were rich, you were considered to actually be quite a righteous person. If you had wealth, if you had possessions, you were actually more likely to be right with God, because you wouldn't sin like a poor person. A poor person has to steal to eat and so on. And if he has to steal, he has to lie. A poor person is more likely to commit great sin. If you're rich, if you're wealthy, you don't have to do those things. You don't have to steal. You don't have to lie. You don't have to covet because you have so much already. So you're less likely to sin. You're more likely to be righteous. You're more likely to be spiritual. And in fact, some people thought that if you were wealthy, well, then it was because you were a good person. This person is wealthy. God has blessed him. Well, he must be a good person. He must be. If God has given him all these things, he must be a very good and righteous person for the Lord to have blessed him in this way. But well, the Lord Jesus Christ says here, no. It is so hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And this is why the disciples are amazed. If a rich person who doesn't have to steal, who doesn't have to lie, is generally speaking righteous, if they can't be saved, who can be saved? And this is when the Lord Jesus Christ utters those well-known words in verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And this is what I would like to focus on this morning, those words. Well, there are many things we could say about this. With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. We could talk about the miracles of God. So many miracles that were performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, they show that God can do things that are impossible for men. Sometimes these words are applied in other churches to promote a materialistic lifestyle. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Some preachers preach in a way that suggests, well, you can have all your dreams come true. You can have a big house. You can have a nice car. You can have lots of money in the bank. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Some preachers preach in that way. But of course, we're not going to do that this morning. It goes against the whole context. The context of this passage is that a rich man can't enter into the kingdom of God. It's not good to be rich. It's not good to be materialistic. That's what this passage is actually saying. A rich man can't enter into the kingdom of God. It's not advocating materialism. It's pointing to spiritual things. It's speaking about salvation. Who then can be saved? This is what the gospel message is about. It's not about earthly prosperity. It's about salvation. It's about eternal life. That is what that rich man asked initially. What shall I do that I may have eternal life? So, dear friends, this is what we are going to focus on. How can we be saved? But in doing these things, in communicating this, I want to just point out three reasons why all things are possible with God. How is this so? And well, the first reason that I want to present to you, with God, all things are possible, because God has perfect knowledge. God has perfect knowledge. Let us think about this just for a few moments. Man has knowledge, of course, knowledge of a great many things, science, medicine, history, of course. Man knows a lot, but man's knowledge is limited. And much of what man knows is theory and speculation. Man at this current time thinks he knows a lot about how the world was created and about how things come to pass. But you know, so much of what he thinks he knows is actually theory. Evolution is a theory. It's all speculation. It's all guesswork. His knowledge, man's knowledge, is limited. It is finite. But God's knowledge is infinite. God does not have to speculate. God does not have to guess about anything. God knows the truth about everything in this world. God knows the truth about creation, of course. He created all things. God knows the truth about life. God knows the truth about us. God, for example, well, he can read the hearts of men. We read that about the Lord Jesus Christ. He could see the hearts, the thoughts, the feelings of all those who would come into his presence. He could see the hearts of men. That's impossible for man. Men cannot see the thoughts of another man. Many of you, well, you're all before me now. I can see you, but I can't see your face, your thoughts. I can't see your faces either, but I can't see your thoughts. I can't see what you're truly thinking. I can't read your hearts. That's impossible for a man to do that. But for God, that is possible. He can see all these things, and he knows without any shadow of a doubt what is truly in your heart and what is truly in your mind. God, well, of course, he sees everything about your life, about your past, all that has happened in your life. He knows all of those things, all those things that perhaps you've never told anyone, you've never told a soul, a secret within you. God knows all these things. It's impossible for other people to know. You might have done something and you've hidden your tracks, but God knows all of these things. And God, well, he knows all of your experiences in time past. Many of you have had difficult experiences in your life. God knows what you've been through. God knows how you've been affected in your life. Sometimes when difficult things happen to us, we try to share them with other people. But you know, other people can never really understand what we're going through. They can empathize, perhaps. They can sympathize. They can comfort us to some degree. But it's impossible for them to know exactly what you're going through. It's only God who knows that. So this is why I hope you can see that with men, certain things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible because he has perfect knowledge. He knows everything. That is why he is the God of the impossible. And this is a glorious thing. God, of course, can see all the things that are going to happen in your life, that are going to happen. It's impossible for us to see that. We can't see what's going to happen in our future. We can't even see beyond this minute. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen this week. That's impossible. But God knows. God can see the future. And well, this is why we follow him. This is why Christian people put all their trust in God, because it's impossible to know what is ahead of us, but God can see, and that's why we follow him. He will lead us safely. He will lead us wisely. These things, well, I'm just seeking to point out to you the glorious things that we have when we know the Lord Jesus Christ, when we know God. With God, all things are possible, not just because he knows all things, but because he is in charge of all things. All things are possible with God because he is in charge of everything. Why, if I can give you an illustration, in the office, in the workplace, or even at school, it's only the headmaster who can make decisions to change things, or the boss of a company, or the chief executive. Only he can change things, or she, because they are in charge. An employee can't do anything. That's impossible for him to change anything. An employee in a company, he can't pay himself more money. That's impossible. An employee in a company cannot make decisions that will affect all the other employees. That's impossible. It's only the one at the very top who can do that. It's possible for him to make the decisions. And so this is how it is with the things of God. All things are possible with God because he is in charge. He is ruling everything. He is sovereign. That's how we describe it. He is over all things, like a king is sovereign over a nation. He can rule. He can change things. He can set all things in order. He has the power. It's possible for him, not possible for anyone else. He is in charge, and so he alone has the power to do all things. And this is how it is with God. We cannot change anything, dear friends. We don't have the power in our lives. So often in our lives, there are circumstances that overwhelm us, things that are beyond our control. Take the coronavirus. I don't want to always go on about it, but what a great illustration it is. Who would have seen that coming? And when it has come, we're all so powerless to do anything about it. We're at the mercy of the virus. We are not in control of any of those things. It's impossible for man, but it's possible with God. God is in control. That's why all things are possible with him, because he is the one who rules over all things. And dear friends, this is why Christians, again, trust in him. This is why we pray to God. It's a tragic thing for unbelievers. They never pray to God. They don't know how to pray. But a Christian, it's a wonderful privilege. We pray to God. We pray to the one who is over everything. And say to him, Lord, thou art the one who is in charge. Thou art the one who can change all things. Lord, change and bless and help me. And a Christian has seen countless answers to his prayers. Things that he thought were impossible have now been made possible because God has answered his prayer. And God has ordered all things. So with men, there are so many impossible things, but with God, all things are possible because he knows all things, perfect knowledge and wisdom, and he is over all things. He is the sovereign God. But thirdly, with God, all things are possible, and perhaps this is something that you haven't really connected before, but with God, all things are possible because he is without sin. He is the holy God. God is holy. God is eternal light. And because of his holiness, because of his purity, all things are possible. You know, sin, let's just think about sin for a minute. Sin limits you. I've spoken about this many times before. But sin limits you. It hinders you. Sin prevents you from doing things. It doesn't increase your potential. It limits your potential. Living a sinful life, a life without God. I've known many people when I was at school as a youngster, and I've shared this with you in the past. I've known young men who were great athletes, who were great footballers, for example, and they were on the books of professional football clubs. But because of sin, because of alcoholism, because of drugs, they weren't able to pursue that career. Sin hindered their potential. They would have gone on to do great things, but it was their sin that corrupted them. It cut off all their opportunity. I've known other youngsters who've had other great gifts, great artists and so on, and they would have gone on to great things. What stopped them? It was their sin. Their sin kept them from reaching their full potential. This is what sin does. Sin makes things impossible that would otherwise have been possible. You could have gone on to do great things, but your sin has made it impossible. And we learn this all the way through Scripture, right from the very start. God created man. God created Adam. And Adam, well, just think of all the potential in Adam. Think of all the possibility in Adam. He was upright. He was perfect. What stopped that potential in Adam, in the first man? It was sin. Adam could have done wonderful things, but what did he do? He sinned, and the potential was gone. It was all gone. Instead of possibility, now there was impossibility. Instead of hope, now there was death. Death came into the world because of Adam's sin. Dear friends, don't ever think that sin gives you greater possibility in life, greater potential. It's the opposite. It limits your potential, the sin that is in you, the sin that will continue to grow in you. And the wages of sin is death, we read in the Bible. That's what Adam brought into the world, death. And death is the great limitation upon us. And it's impossible to avoid death, of course. It's impossible to avoid death. No matter what you think you can do in your life, let me tell you this, the most simplest fact of life is that you will die. It's impossible to avoid it, no matter how long you live. And then, well, what comes after death? What does the Bible teach? Well, the Bible teaches that first there is death and then there is a judgment upon each and every one of us. And that's impossible to avoid. You can't avoid the judgment. Doesn't matter whether you don't believe in God. Doesn't matter whether this might be the last time you ever go into a church and you go somewhere else and you forget all about God. It's impossible for you to avoid this meeting with God at the end of your life. And we have to give an account of our lives before God. And God will see all our sin, dear friends. All of our sin. We are all sinners. You may think you're a good person like this rich man. This rich man thought he was a good person. Oh, I've done everything so well. But God can see that besetting sin. He had a besetting sin, a chief sin. He loved his possessions. He loved his riches. He loved his wealth. Everyone has a besetting sin, a chief sin. What is it with you? Maybe it's your selfishness. Maybe it's your covetousness. Maybe it's your pride. You love yourself. Maybe it's your lust. Everybody has a chief sin, and God can see it. You won't be able to hide it from him. This rich young man couldn't hide it. You won't be able to hide it from the Lord, from God. And well, what are we to do then? Which one of us can stand before God? Well, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Dear friends, the only way we can stand before God is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has come so that we may be forgiven all our sin, so that we can stand before God without fear. Because we know that Christ took upon himself the punishment for our sin. Yes, we are sinners, but we will not be punished by God because Christ took the punishment upon himself. On the cross at Calvary, he shed his blood, he suffered and died. What a price he paid for us. What a terrible price he took upon himself, that eternal weight of punishment. He bore our agony for all of his people, all those who trust in him. He took the price for each and every one of their sins. It's very difficult for us to understand. How can the Lord Jesus Christ take an eternal punishment for all of our sins? Every single sin we have committed deserves an eternal punishment. Christ, in 6 hours, he took upon himself that agony, that weight. He was forsaken of God. How can he do it? Well, it's impossible for us to understand, but we know that he did do it. We know that it was possible for the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the eternal Son of God and because he has loved us with an everlasting love. He would not come down from that cross until he has taken the punishment for all our sins. So we know this and we believe this. This is possible with God. We may know full pardon. We may know full acceptance. And this is so important for us to understand, dear friends. We're almost entirely out of time. But one of you may say to me, well, Pastor, this is all very well and good. Good message, good sermon, but you don't know my situation. You think to yourself, well, I've heard this message so many times, I will never be a Christian. I'm just not like that. I'm not interested. I'm not a spiritual person. I don't have a desire for God. No matter how often, how long you preach to me, Pastor, I will never be converted. You'll never convert me. That's what you say to yourself. That's what you say to yourself every single week you gather here. But dear friends, well, it may be impossible for me. It is impossible for me to convert you, but it's not impossible with God. It's not impossible. There are countless testimonies of people who had no interest in God beforehand, but God changed them. God changed them. This God is a God who can create things out of nothing. That's how he created the world, out of a void, out of nothing. God spoke and then there was light, there was life, out of nothing. God can do that with you. You may not have any desire at the moment. You may not have any faith. You may not have any understanding. But God, out of nothing, can grant you faith, can grant you spiritual life. Perhaps even now as I speak, he is giving you a desire that you never had before. Now you are starting to understand. Now you are starting to see your great need of Christ. Out of absolutely nothing, God can change you. God will use you. God will bless you. God will reconcile you to himself by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, when he does, you will not regret it. You will be accepted by a glorious, miracle-working God for whom nothing is impossible. The God who knows all things, the God who is in command of all things, the God who is holy, without sin, the God who loves you, who sent his only begotten Son to die for you. You will know him. You will be set free from your sin, from the power of sin, and above all, from the condemnation of sin. Forgiveness of sin. And you will know that you are eternally loved by God. This is the message that we ought to take from these words. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Don't live this limited life, this sinful life without God. Your potential will drain away. Come to God. He will give you true life, life in its fullest sense. You will live your life according to his will. You will do things you never thought you were able to. And you will spend that glorious eternity in his presence, life forevermore. Dear friends, may the Lord bless these things to us and help us to understand. Well, let's turn in our hymn books to hymn number 393 as we conclude our thinking this morning. Hymn number 393. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee, trusting thee for full salvation, great and free. I am trusting thee for pardon, at thy feet I bow, for thy grace and tender mercy, trusting now. I am trusting thee to guide me. Thou alone shalt lead, every day and hour supplying all my need. I am trusting thee for power, thine can never fail. Words which thou thyself shalt give me must prevail. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, never let me fall. I am trusting thee forever and for all. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, oh dear Lord God, take away all our unbelief, take away all our reluctance, take away all our atheism, and replace these things with love for thee, for the gospel. Help us, dear Lord, grant us understanding, grant us faith in Christ, so that we may know and believe that he has died for us. Oh, dear Lord, bless us, we pray. Gather souls into the kingdom. We ask all these things in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen.